Welcome back, everybody, to the Primal King Podcast. This is episode number 19. All right, so my guest today is somebody who I feel blessed to have been able to call a friend for the last several years. He's somebody that, I don't know, the best way that I could explain Myron is he's kind of like your favorite band, right? No matter how many times you've seen your favorite band, as soon as you hear that they're coming anywhere near your hometown, you're like, oh, I'm going again. I know I've watched them 38 times, but I still want to go again. And that's the way I feel about any time Myron is talking. It could be in a stage front, in front of 5,000 people. It could be just a simple Facebook Live or something like that. He always just seems to bring something that teaches me something, right? And he has such a good way of articulating it in a way to where it's understandable, it's digestible. And so I had a ton of fun on this with him. And I hope you all enjoy it as much as what I did making it. So yeah, without further ado, let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name's Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. All right, so welcome back, everyone. You are all going to love my next guest. He is one of my favorite people in the entire world. This is someone who he contracted polio as an infant and has walked with a metal brace on his leg his entire life, but still went on to earn a black belt in martial arts. He's one of the most sought-after speakers and trainers in the areas of marketing, sales, business development, and financial literacy. He's the author of the international best-selling book, From the Trash Man to the Cash Man. He's helped countless people learn how to turn their passions into highly profitable businesses. He's the host of the podcast, Bible Success Secrets. And one of the most important things to add to his list of accomplishments, he's a pretty darn good golfer. I want to introduce you all to my friend, Mr. Myron Golden. How you doing today, Myron?
I am utterly fantastic, better now that I'm talking to you. How you doing?
Perfect, perfect. Well, hey, as far as being able to have you on, obviously I wanted to be able to have you on the podcast because I know how inspiring you are. I've seen you on stages in front of thousands of people. I've seen you in small rooms. But no matter how many people there are, you always have this, seems like a very uplifting, very inspirational, just a very, I don't know, like caring, I guess, message. Where do you think that comes from?
You know, I really think it comes from being the person who was chosen last for a lot of sports games, like playing kickball and stuff on the playground. I think it comes from, you know, like you said, I had polio as an infant. When I was a child, it bothered me because everybody else could run and I couldn't run. And, you know, having other children make fun of you and never wanting to make anybody feel like they were less than, you know, because I know what other people attempting to make you feel less than feels like. It's kind of yucky. And I never wanted to make anybody feel that. So, you know, I was in a network marketing company back in the 1980s, and the owner of that company, the founder of that company, he had this saying. He said, you got to pretend everybody you meet has a flashing sign on their chest that says, say something good to me. Make me feel special. I want to be somebody. And so that's been like a motto for me. Say something good to people. They want to be somebody. Make them feel special. So that's been kind of like a mantra for me because they are special. You know, it's not about pretending that people are special. It's about realizing that people are special. So I guess that's where it comes from.
Do you think it almost started as a defense mechanism in a way? Like just that uplifting side to kind of cope with what you were going through?
No, because my method of coping with it was to punch somebody in the face. So that was my coping. No, it's really more about just never wanting anybody to feel like I felt. Now I am so at peace with who I am and my assignment and every aspect of it. You know, I had polio as an infant. I embrace that. Like if I could go back and change it, I wouldn't. So no, I don't even think it's a coping mechanism or a defense mechanism as much as I just really, you know, it's really interesting. Like the best business advice I ever give to people who hire me to coach them, and they don't realize that it's the best business advice, but I realize the best business advice is this: love the people, use the money. Don't use the money. Don't use the people and love the money. It's the best business advice I can give you.
That's great advice, because I think sometimes it's easy to get the other two things mixed up, right?
Absolutely. And just love the people, man. People can tell when you really love them. Like, you know that you're not just some dude I know in business. Like, I think of you as my friend, my homie, my golfing homie, what's up with, like, I watch your Instagram stories, right? Why? Because you're a celebrity that I want to follow around and stalk, but because you're my friend, right? So anyway.
I appreciate that, by the way. So I kind of want to go back to when you wrote your international best-selling book, From the Trash Man to the Cash Man. I'm sure some people probably think, oh, that's a cool title or whatever, but that's real, right? That story is actually real. So would you maybe kind of take everybody through how do you go from the trash man to the cash man?
Well, I've discovered the biggest difference between, in my opinion, and I've coached thousands of people. Literally, I'm a coach in other people's coaching programs. I was a coach in 2CCX. Like, I'm coaching people in other people's coaching programs, plus my own coaching programs, my own high-end coaching program. And one of the things I discovered, the main difference between rich people and poor people. And like, when I think about it, it's so clear to me now, like when I go back in my memory banks and I think about the time my life when I struggled, the biggest difference I've seen between rich people and poor people is the poor people value money more than they value time. Rich people value time more than they value money. Like, I value time so much more than money. Like, I will spend as much money as necessary just to buy back a few minutes of my life. But the rich poor person will waste hours trying to save $3. It just, or trying to save $20 or $100. That's the biggest, like, if I look at the actual activities of rich and poor people, that's the biggest difference, because poor people have bought into the lie that time is money. And rich people know that time is not money. Time is infinitely more valuable than money. You know, when I think about the fact that when I was a trash man, I was making $6.25 an hour. I was making $9.50 an hour overtime. If I worked more than 8 hours in a day, every hour over 8 hours I worked was overtime paid, $9.50. And my goal back then, believe this or not, was I remember saying to my wife, who I made all these promises to, if we can make $300 a week, we're going to be okay. Because my rent was $250 a week. My car payment, like $190 a month. I mean, my rent was $250 a month. My car payment was like $170 a month. We had one child. And like, if I can just make $300 a week, we're going to be great. Right? That was as big as my vision was. And I used to fix my own cars and fix my own house. And every time something broke down, I do all that stuff. I don't do any of that stuff anymore. Not because I'm too good, but because it's not worth my time. So how did I go from being a trash man to a cash man? When I was the trash man, I was working a job for somebody because I didn't understand. I didn't understand, like, what should be my financial focus? What should my financial focus be? And when I was poor, my financial focus was paying the bills. I thought the purpose of money was to pay bills. And so consequently, I made enough to pay bills, but no more, right? And I barely made enough to pay bills sometimes. So I was a trash man in the daytime, but I sold insurance and investments at night. So I'll tell you what I believe are the keys to going from the trash man to the cash man, or, you know, from a secretary to a six-figure earner, or from a janitor to making six figures or seven figures. What does it take to do that? Well, I think financially, our financial focus should be around three things: leverage, lifestyle, and legacy. That's the importance of priority, but it is the reverse order for importance. In other words, I believe that legacy is more important than lifestyle or leverage, right? And a lot of people, what they do, they make the mistake of working the most important things first instead of working on the highest priority things first. Because what's most important is not always the highest priority. Most people think it is. So to me, legacy is the most important thing in that list, but leverage is the highest priority on that list. Well, how can I say that? Well, because if you have any leverage, you can't leave any legacy. So I got to get the leverage before I can have the legacy. Now, some people say to me, what's leverage, Myron? Leverage is a minimal input that produces maximum output. That's what leverage is. Leverage is, it's a multiplier of energy, multiplier of outcome. Like, you take an input, you take one input, You add leverage, now you have a 10 times output, 100 times output, 1,000 times output. You know, when I think about the fact that I used to, well, my wife and I were both working at a children's home, we made $14,400 a year apiece. So we were making $28,000 a year. I want you to think about that. We're making $28,000 in a whole year, working 7 days on, 4 days off, 7 days on, 3 days off, 7 days on, 4 days off, 7 days on, 3 days off. And when we were on duty those 7 days, we only got 4 hours a day off to be off duty during that 24-hour period. So when I say 7 days, I'm talking about seven 20-hour days. Now, it wasn't all intense work, but it was all high alert, like 20 hours of being on alert, 20 hours of being on call, 20 hours of having to respond to crisis in the lives of these children, right? So when I think about that, here's what I want to admonish people who are hardworking, like really disciplined, just salt of the earth people. Here's what you have to understand. Either you are going to find some leverage and use it to maximize your output, and let's call that output your income, right? Or somebody else is going to find out you have no leverage, and they're going to use you to leverage their output. So they're going to use you as leverage. So you only have two choices. You're either going to use leverage and receive the benefit, or you're going to be leverage and give somebody else the benefit of your existence. That's why leverage is so important to me. Like, what's leverage look like? My daughter said, Dad, I like the way you say that, but I don't know what it means. Like, give me a picture of leverage. I said, leverage is I can pick up a car with one hand. You can't pick up a car with one hand. Sure, I can. Like, and I'm not talking about a little toy car. I'm talking about like my Mercedes or my Bentley. I can pick it up with one hand, right? How do you pick it up with one hand? You put a jack under it, and then I put one arm's worth of work into that, and it picks up a 6,000 pound car, picks up a 4,000 pound car. Why? Because the jack is leverage. And it multiplies the little bit of energy that I'm putting out, and it creates that I'm putting into the jack, the small amount of energy I'm putting into the jack, and multiplies that output and puts it out and picks up the car. So if you are financially struggling right now, it's because you haven't found any leverage. And there are different things. Like, there was a time when leverage only existed for a small minority of people in the world. And those were the people in the industrial age who owned the machines, right? In the agricultural age, from the beginning of time to the mid-1700s, leverage belonged to the people who owned land. From the mid-1700s to the mid-1900s, leverage belonged to the people who owned the factories, right? The machines. Like, if you wanted to be an author, somebody who had a printing press had to believe that your book was good enough to publish. Somebody who had a publishing company had to believe your book was good enough to publish. If you were a singer, somebody who had a record label had to believe that your voice was good enough to put out there. Right? So that was in the days of centralized industry, right? From the mid-1950s to the mid-1970s, like, the people who owned the leverage were the people who had distribution channels, right? Because outlets equaled wealth. And like, you couldn't own a department store, like, unless you were like somebody who owned a department store, right? Or an infomercial. You had to have like an infomercial, a department store. You had to own a network marketing company or a direct sales company. You had to have some medium. You had the leverage of the day. You had to utilize the leverage of the day. And the leverage of the day in the distribution age was outlets. And then 1978, the personal computer was invented. And so during that time, from 1978 to 1994, we lived in the technology age, and techno-how was wealth. And that was the leverage. So if you didn't know how to program a computer, you were left behind. I remember back in the early 1980s, you probably don't remember this because you probably weren't born yet. But anyway, I remember. But I remember back in the 1980s, everybody wanted to go to college to be a computer programmer. Why? Because they saw Bill Gates, Steve Wozniak, Michael Dell, Larry Ellison, all these people. I combined Oracle and Ellison together and made it into Orson. Larry Ellison. And all of these computer programming geeks were on the front of Time magazine or on the Fortune 500 magazine as the richest people in America. So, I got to go become a computer programmer. Why? Because techno-how is wealth. And so now there's so much wealth. Well, like, literally, we live in an age of the democratization. The democratization and decentralization of leverage. Anybody can have leverage. We live in an age where anybody can have leverage. What? This is so crazy. If I think, not if you think I can sing, if I think I can sing, all I got to do is pick up my guitar, get on YouTube, and start singing. And guess what? The people who my voice resonates with, they're going to like me. And if I do, like, if I build a social following around my music, Like the internet gives me the ultimate leverage to get into the living rooms of people all over the world. So leverage is the turning point. You say, how did I go from being the trash man to the cash man? I learned how to not, while I was being used as leverage for someone else, I learned how to start creating my own leverage.
Was there someone who taught you that, who changed the mind shift? Was it just finally like, you're like, oh wow, I'm actually was it something like an epiphany to you, or how did you come about that?
So, it's really interesting, that over time, like when I got started, I remember I said I sold insurance and investments, but see, here's what happened. When I started selling insurance and investments, I was really horrible at sales. Now I know, because you know me and you've seen me in a selling environment, it's hard for you to believe that I was ever horrible at sales. I submit to you, the only reason I'm good at sales is because I was willing to be bad at it long enough to get good. And so many people, because everything's instant, coffee's instant, you know, meals are instant, drive through, banking's instant, everything's instant. I can deposit a check on my phone. I don't even have to go to the bank anymore. Everything's instant. We want to be instantly good at stuff. Well, that ain't how life works. Anything that you're going to become that you are not right now, it's going to take time, right? So I discovered over time, and by implementation of ideas and then learning new ideas to implement, I discovered, oh, I can either be leverage or I can use leverage. I think I like using leverage way more than I like being leverage for somebody else. So literally something I discovered over time.
And the crazy part is because I know that having watched you on a stage in front of thousands of people, like literally pitch stuff and have, and again, like I've witnessed this in person, people running to the back of the room to buy whatever it is that you're pitching. It is crazy that you went through, I know, a long period where you weren't able to sell it. And I know that a lot of people, go ahead.
No, it took me a year and a half to make my first sale, Derek, but I didn't quit. Most people after a month and a half, they're like, this doesn't work, I'm done. Now, it's not that it doesn't work, it's that it's not done working on you. I'm sorry, go ahead, finish saying what you're saying.
Well, no, I was just going to say, because I know that there's probably a lot of people that listen to the podcast that aren't in sales, or maybe not even, you know, not in the internet marketing world or any of that. But I think
everybody's
a bigger point, right? What's that?
Everybody's in sales.
Yes.
Everybody's in sales. Some of us just realize it.
yes. So a lot of people don't realize that they're in sales. But I mean, it's so funny though how applicable it is to anything that you're doing, because the crazy thing to me sometimes, I guess, is that you'll see somebody who maybe they're working construction and they want to do something different, but like you said, they're not willing to be bad at it long enough to get good at it. But yet they've been doing construction, maybe a job that they hate, for 10 years, and they haven't realized, like, you've put 10 years into being really good at something you hate. Like, why wouldn't you be willing to put a year or 2 years into something that you actually love?
Dude, that's one of the best questions I've ever heard.
Why do you think that is? Is it comfort? Is it?
So I'm going to tell you why I believe it is. I believe it's because of programming. So I'm going to give you an original Myron Golden quote. I don't have a lot of them, but I have some. So this is an original Myron Golden quote. People will never behave consistently in a way that's inconsistent with their programming. I'm going to tell you that success and failure in the life of any individual is automatic. I'm going to tell you that flow and struggle in the lives of individuals are automatic. They have nothing to do with trying. A person who is succeeding, Derek, today is January 22nd, I think. I work part-time. Okay, so I get a paycheck every week from the company that I started. And I'm going to tell you something. It's really fascinating. I work part-time. Today's January 22nd. And by the 13th of this month, we had already done over $1 million in revenue.
Wow.
For the year, right? Why? It's automatic. Like, it's as hard for me not to make lots and lots of crazy amounts of money as it is for it will be as hard for me not to make, at worst case scenario, hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. And I know that sounds crazy to people. I know that does. Don't get lost in that sauce. Like, it's as hard for me not to do that as most people think it is for them to do it. Why? because programming. We are the result. Like, the results we have in our lives are the direct result of the programming we've received. Now, here's what's unfortunate for most people. Most people have been programmed by what I call the cultural hypnotic societal mechanism. Our entire culture is under a hypnotic trance. And that hypnotic trance, the purpose of it, and the media, the schools, the teachers, the parents, like our coworkers, everything is a part of this mechanism, this cultural hypnotic societal mechanism. And it programs us to believe on a subconscious level certain things, because on a subconscious level, that's where I produce all my results. My subconscious produces all of my results. And when I feel like I'm struggling, the real reason I'm struggling is because my consciousness, my conscious mind, is attempting to go against my programming. My conscious mind can never overpower my programming, but my conscious mind can decide to reprogram my subconscious mind. Like, the only chance my conscious mind has against my subconscious mind is to intentionally reprogram my subconscious. So, like, if you take your hands like this, Derek, go ahead, take your hands like this, do this with your hands, put your hands together like this. Okay, are your left thumb and four fingers on top, or your right thumb and four fingers?
Left.
Your left thumb and four fingers are on top. Mine are too. Now, here's what I want you to do. Hold them up like that so people can still see. Okay, so I want you to take them apart and put them back together the opposite way. Right. Now, you feel how awkward that feels?
Yeah.
You know why that feels so awkward? Because you've never done that before in your life. Every time you put your hands together, it's always left thumb and four fingers on top of right thumb and fingers. Left thumb and fingers on top of right thumb and fingers. Left thumb. But if you do it the opposite way, it's like, oh, why would any? But there, literally, you do this in a room with 100 people, half of them do it one way, half of them do it the other way. But when you tell them to switch, all of them get this look on their face like, eh, why would anybody do that, right? And the reason they get that look on their face is because they do it the same way subconsciously every time. Like when I shave, oh, I don't even like to say that, when I shave. I'm growing my beard back, brother. It'll be back within a month. I don't like to work out, and I love my beard, so I gave up something I love to make myself do something that I'm not really crazy about. So I gave up my beard until I get back down to 170. When I get to 170, beard's coming back. And nice. This morning, I was 188 when I started. I'm 181.9 right now. So I'm thinking, like, in the next couple of days, I'm going to break the 170s, be down in the 170s, like, is on now. So the beard will be back in full force. Anyway, when I shave, I always shave I always put the shaving cream on the left side of my face first, then the right side, then on the bottom. I don't ever do it the other way. I always shave the left side of my face with my right hand before I shave. I don't know why I do it that way. It's just the way I've always done it. So that's the way I do it. I put on a sock and a shoe and a shoe every time I put my socks and shoes on. I don't do a sock and a shoe and a sock and a shoe, but believe it or not, as weird as that sounds, and it may not sound weird to you because you may be a sock and a shoe and a sock and a shoe guy, right? But there are millions of people in the world that put on a sock and a shoe and a sock and a shoe because people do it the way they do it. And they don't think about it. So our brain, it uses more energy than everything in our body. And so in order to conserve energy, it produces processes that flow and function on autopilot. And so literally, we've been programmed to go to school, study hard, get the best grades we can, go off to college, get a degree, go in debt, like a crazy amount of money, and then get a job that doesn't even pay us enough a year to pay off the stupid debt. But that's what we learned. And everybody keeps singing the same song, right? So what happens is we've been programmed to get a job, get the best job we can. It doesn't matter if you like it. Nobody's going to pay you to do what you like. They're only going to pay you to do what they like you to do. So what happens is we sell our soul so we can pay the bills. It's like, that's why I think people do it, because they've been programmed to do it. And they don't think there's another way. And if you tell them there's a better way, it's hard for them to believe. Now, they may listen to 27 episodes or 270 episodes of your podcast, and finally, their conscious mind, because of intentionally listening to something like this podcast, they've reprogrammed themselves to believe something else is possible.
That's so fascinating. And I know that a lot of people that are listening to the podcast, they won't see the video. So if you are at home, try this out. All that Myron had me do was just bring both of your hands up and then fold them, I guess, right? It's called folding your hands.
Clasp them together.
And so for me, when I fold my hands, my left thumb goes on top of my right thumb. And then when he had me switch it, I literally felt like I was trying to fold two left hands because it was like, I don't know what to do here. So exactly. Something to try.
Yeah. But if you think about something that's that insignificant,
yeah,
is a matter of programming. Everything we do is a matter of programming. People don't even realize their perspective. Like, their perspective of life is a matter of programming. People say to me, they say, Myron, you're so positive. How did you get to be so positive? In fact, one of my golfing buddies here in Florida, Scotty, he says, so, Myron, I've got a question for you. What was the turning point when you became this super positive person? I said, if I tell you the answer, you're not even going to believe me. He said, okay. I said, I don't think of myself as being a positive person. I'm not positive. I'm just aware. He said, what does that mean? I said, when I woke up this morning and I opened my eyes, I could see. And I know there are millions of people in this world who woke up this morning, they opened their eyes and they couldn't see anything. Eyes are natural. Sight is a blessing. I can hear the birds singing. There are people who have ears that can't hear. I have hands that can hold. I have legs that can walk. My legs don't walk as fast as yours, but they walk. Like, I live in a free country. I have access to the internet. I've got a family that loves me. Like, I've got so many blessings in my life. Like, I have so many blessings in my life. I almost don't have time to notice what's not working. Why? Because that's the frequency I'm tuned into. I'm not being positive. You say, oh, you're so positive. I'm not being positive. I'm just being aware. I'm aware that I don't have the ability to make my eyes see, but they see. I've got something to be thankful for. I don't have the ability to make my ears hear, but they hear. I've got something to be thankful for. My hands can hold. Not only can they hold, they can hold a golf club.
Yeah. And they can pipe, right? And drive like 300 right down the middle.
Every now and then 300 if I'm playing on hard fairways in Texas and the wind is behind me. Okay. So anyway, but what's amazing is like my son-in-law, my son-in-law likes to make fun of me because it's fun. And it's funny to me when he makes fun of me, right? So we're playing golf one day. And so my name is Myron. When I was in college, they called me the My, right? And so his name is John Ryan, and I call him the Rye, right? So he says, so the My, I want to ask you a question. Do you ever get mad when you're playing golf? I said, and my answer was, mad about what? I'm a full-grown man playing a game in the middle of the day. I'm not driving somebody's nail. I'm hammering somebody's nail. I'm not driving somebody's truck. I'm not carrying rocks up on a roof. I'm not working on a farm. Not that there's anything wrong with any of that stuff. I'm not working construction in the hot sun. I'm not on top of one of these roofs fixing somebody's roof, like where it's 120 degrees on the roof because of all the heat that they're like. I'm a full grown man. I'm 58. I'm a full grown man playing a game in the middle of the day. What do I got to be mad about? I hit a bad shot. Somebody better wake me up. I'm dreaming. So anyway, I said that to him one day. Next thing I know, he posted it on Instagram with the laughing till tears come out of your eyes emoji. So yeah, it's just an awareness.
So do you believe then, actually, I kind of want to step back because you and I had a conversation one time and I did a post on my Primal King Instagram account the other day with a poll. And I've had some guests on the podcast who use, I guess what you would say, potty language, right? And I remember talking to you about curse words and stuff like that. And I always find it fascinating because you get some people that are like, you know, I cuss. That's what I do. That's who I am. I'm not going to mask that for anybody. If you don't like it, then whatever, right? And then I talked to you and you had a completely different take on kind of the whole cussing and podcasts on stage or just in general, about kind of the power of words. And I know that some people probably look at this like woo-woo stuff, but the way that you explained it was just fascinating to me as far as like the words that you use and everything else. I was wondering if maybe you could kind of go through what we talked about.
Yeah. So I don't ever use profanity, period. I don't use it publicly. I don't use it privately. I don't use it when I'm by myself. I don't use profanity because words have power. So I study language, right? And what I mean by that, like I speak English, obviously, sometimes better than others. I speak a little Spanish, but I've been studying Hebrew for the last several years. One of the things that I learned was the word for to speak and the word for thing are the same word in Hebrew. And I believe that the Hebrew language is the language that God used to speak everything into existence. You know, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, all that, right? So words are not just words. Words are things. Words are the things we call that thing. Like everything is the thing we call that thing, right? And so what's really interesting, is that people don't understand how the fact that words have power. In fact, there's a scripture that says, thou shalt also declare a thing and it shall be established unto thee. Now, what's really interesting, if you read Dr. Emoto's book on water, like his water studies, he did these amazing studies on water. He took a petri dish and put a drop of water out of a glass in the petri dish, took another petri dish, took a drop of water out of the same glass, put in that petri dish. On the one petri dish, he wrote negative words. On the other petri dish, he wrote positive words. He put both petri dishes that came out of the same glass, he put those water in the freezer. When he froze them, he looked at them under a microscope. And the molecules of the words that had the negative writing on them were all the, like, they turned into these really nasty, gnarly looking patterns that look like, they just look like death. I mean, they were just really just nasty looking, right? The ones he wrote the positive words on and froze those, looked at them under a microscope, they had these beautiful snowflake patterns. Now, here's what's interesting. Water can't hear, it can't see, and it can't read. But yet, words written on the container that it is in affects it negatively or positively. Think about how powerful this is. I can read, I can hear, I can see, and my body's 70% water. My brain is 90% water. If negative words have that kind of effect on just water sitting in a petri dish, how can I be deceived enough to think that negative words don't affect my life? It's silly. Now, that's one reason I don't use profanity. Like, I don't want to speak corruption. I don't want to use corrupt words. And think about this. Like, when you use profanity, you're pretending to describe something with the most non-descriptive adjective that exists. Like when somebody says, like, use a cuss word to talk about something, they didn't describe anything at all. So they say, oh, that's really blanked up. Well, guess what? There's nothing in what you just said that describes what happened. So you're making your message, using profanity makes your message less clear, which gives less of an opportunity for people to act on it. So what you got to do, like, you don't have to do this, but I teach my students, you should never use profanity. Like, my son is 30 years old. My daughter's 28 years old. They've never heard me use profanity. Ever. Not one time in their entire life. That doesn't make me, oh, you're so wonderful. It has nothing to do with me being wonderful. It has something to do with me not wanting to speak corruption into my children's lives. Right? And so provide, some people say, well, how can one word be worse than another? Well, apparently the water knows that one word's worse than another. So we have to wrap our, like, we can't change principles. Yeah, that's just, I do that for the effect. I do that as a pattern interrupt. Well, there are other pattern interrupts that are way better than that. And I love what Jim Rohn used to say. He said, don't be lazy with language. And I submit that profanity is one of the laziest things a person can do with language, period. And I know there'll be people who disagree with me. Oh, you're a snowflake. You're so fragile. We're all snowflakes. We're made out of water. So quit tripping.
I love it. Love it. So, and that to me, I remember you telling me about that. And I was like, that is so interesting. Just the concept behind it, because I think a lot of us don't really think about words, or at least me, again, like, kind of talking about growing up, everybody I knew would cuss. And I'm not going to sit here and say right. that I don't, you know, but it makes total sense with the energy and the way that, you know, you explain it. It's like, wow.
Words are energy. And what's really interesting, I cuss the wallpaper off the wall growing up, right? But usually, like, when I was a kid, somebody's cussing at you, it's time to get ready for a fight. Like, somebody's cussing you out, something's getting ready to go down. So when I hear somebody cussing from the stage, it puts me in a negative state.
Mm-hmm. Ready to fight. Not to mention,
fight or flight, and not to mention, it just feels yucky. You just feel yucky. It doesn't matter whether you use profanity or not. You sit in a room when somebody's using a lot of profanity. When it's over, you feel yucky. You're like, I want to go take my brain and wash it, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. I'm just going to take my brain out and run it through the dishwasher because, like, this is, like, I feel yucky. Well, how can creating a negative feeling in somebody produce a positive outcome? It doesn't make sense.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely. One of the other things that you had talked about with me that I find fascinating as well is I remember you and I'm not going to tell you exactly, tell everybody exactly what you told me, because I know I won't be able to give it the way that you say it is just going to be so much better. But I remember you talking about, why business is godly, and basically how every superhero villain is a evil business person or a greedy business person or things like that. And I think it comes a lot back to what we were talking about with the programming when you grow up and having the mindset that, well, I don't want to be a greedy, evil business owner, but you had such a different take on it. You're like, business is godly. Business is good. Like, what are your thoughts around kind of seeing how we portray so many business owners, whether it's Trump and obviously Trump does some silly things or whatever people's thoughts are on him. But it's almost like people hate him just because he is a rich billionaire, right? People hate other rich, evil people. I mean, how much do you think the programming side of it goes into actually thinking that way about people?
So I think that contributes to the programming greatly. When you think about most of the superheroes, they're poor little orphans. Like Superman was a poor little orphan. Spider-Man's a poor little orphan. And every time I say that, you know what people say? Yeah, but Batman was a rich orphan, right? Batman was a rich orphan. Yep, Batman was a rich orphan. But he's also one of the few superheroes that doesn't have any superpowers. He has a lot of nice cool gadgets, but he doesn't have any superpowers, right? He can't fly. Batman can't fly. People say, yeah, but Tony Stark, he's a billionaire businessman. Yep, but he's also a narcissistic jerk. They're always anchoring a negative characteristic to wealth and positive characteristics to poverty, because Hollywood declared war on business in the 1970s. I'm old enough to remember when being a business person on television was a noble profession. Like, you saw somebody on television was a business owner. They had a noble profession. And most people are not old enough to remember that. As far as the Bible, business being biblical, God gave man something to do before he ever put man on the earth. God put the Garden of Eden on the earth before he put man on the earth. And then he put man. When I say man, I'm talking about men and women, because God called their name Adam. And then it says God put the man in the garden to dress it and keep it. So the work was there before the man was there. Business is a good idea because business is a God idea. Not only that, I'm going to tell you something else. I believe with every fiber of my being that not only is money not evil and it's not neutral, money is inherently good. I believe that because that's what the scripture says. It talks about in Genesis chapter 2, it says there's gold in that land and the gold of that land was good. But I believe that money is the incentive program that God created so human beings would treat each other good. What do I mean by that? Well, like, I can get a perfect stranger to give me a ride from the airport to my house. Why? Because I pay them through the Uber app, right? But they're not going to do that for free. People are not going to be sitting around the airport for free waiting to give people a ride for free. They're going to do it because they got an incentive. What's the incentive? Me. I believe that money creates an exclusive club of people who've served other people. And so if I have money, that's my certificate that proves that I've served somebody other than myself. When I get done with you here in the next few minutes, I'm going to go to Kiki's Breakfast Cafe. I'm going to get some breakfast. They're going to serve me some food. You know why they're going to serve me some food? And by the way, not only are they going to serve me some food, the waitresses are literally going to fight over who gets to serve me. Right? Why? Because I am a really good tipper. Like, I went, took somebody there last week and we had breakfast. It came to $38. And then, so me and these two gentlemen, we ate breakfast. It was $32. We sat there and talked for another hour. So I'd already given the girl a $10 tip, a $38 meal. But before I left, I gave her another $20 because we took up that much time at our table. So they know I'm going to treat them good. So they treat me good. They give me food. Why? Because I give them money. So that's the incentive program that God created.
So when it comes down to like the exchange of value, right? That's where the money comes from. So yep. with you and again, kind of circling back to where you were, again, was that something that you learned kind of on your own? Or I guess what I would love for people to know is, okay, I'm working this job or I'm doing this in my life right now. And I hear Myron talking about, I have to leverage, I have to, kind of change my mindset, maybe my relationship with money and all of those things. But like, maybe what is one thing for someone who's in that situation right now? Like, what is one thing that would propel them to get to that next step?
Start reading books that expose you to a different way of thinking. And books, like I love listening to podcasts, and I listen to podcasts, and I listen to audiobooks. But when you sit down and physically read a book, your brain is engaged at a different level. Like I'm sitting here in my office, and I'm looking at all these books, literally hundreds and hundreds of books on the bookshelves in this office. I have another office across the hall that I use for shooting video, right in my house, right across the hall that I use for shooting video. And I've got dozens of books in there. I've got hundreds of books in here. And a lot of these books I've read, and some of the books I'm reading, and it's just like just exposing myself to a different way of thinking. That's one of the things that I would recommend. I'm going to say this. Have these three goals. Leverage. What is leverage? You want to, like when it comes to making money, you want to create leverage. What's leverage? Minimum input produces maximum output. The least amount of leverage you can have is physical leverage, like implementation. You're the person who does the thing. You hammer a nail. You paint a house. You drive somebody around. You fix something. You're using your muscles to make money. Better leverage than that is unification. What's that? You use your management skills to make money. You manage the people who do the thing. Like if you want to get into the leverage where wealth starts to be created, you want to use your mouth. It's called communication. Communication, like learn to have better conversation with yourself, better conversation with other people. The fastest path to go from struggling financially to getting into like creating some 6 and 7 figure outcomes is to use your mouth as leverage. Learn how to sell. Learn how to sell something. And then the highest form of leverage you have is imagination, to come up with an idea that changes the world, that makes other people's lives better. The people who drive Ubers, they are the implementers. The guy who came up with the idea, that's the guy who's a billionaire, right? And so leverage is the first thing you want to do. Then you want to create some lifestyle. The lifestyle comes next, because lifestyle gives you the ability to experience the leverage you've made and to benefit from it. Like my wife and I, we went on a cruise last month, right? Or earlier this month. We're going on a cruise in February. In March, we're going to Israel. Probably in June or July, we're going to take our children. We're going to go to Banff, Canada, and stay at the Banff Springs Fairmont Hotel, which is a castle that they turned into a hotel. It's the most spectacular hotel I've ever stayed in. It's like $600 a night. My son, my daughter, my son-in-law, and our granddaughter, we're going to go to Canada and just hang out. And we're going to hang out there for a week. And then my wife and I are going to go to Hawaii for 10 days in August for our anniversary, like we always do. We take 5 to 10, like 7 to 10 day vacations a year. Oh, then in November, we're flying over to Greece, and then we're going to get on a cruise to Israel, and then our cruise boat. I don't know exactly how it's going to work. Then we're going to cruise from there to Egypt. It's going to be a spectacular trip, right? So, and that's just some of our lifestyle for the year. See, while poor people are measuring the value of what they do and the number of years experience they have, people are measuring the value, the quality of our life by the number of experiences we put in our years. So create the leverage so you can buy the lifestyle, and then create the legacy. What's legacy? Legacy is, I don't want my children to start from scratch. My daughter and my son-in-law work in our business, right? They have a 6-figure income. They work from home with their new baby. Let them get to work at home. They produce. Like they produced a funnel for us. They built a funnel for us. But Derek, the first month we launched it, it did $110,000 in sales. We believe that this year we'll be able to get it up within the next couple of months to between $600,000 and $900,000 a month, just that one funnel that they built.
Wow.
They make 6 figures a year. We gave them a house, like a house in a nice neighborhood, same neighborhood we live, basically, right? And so, you know, when you can give your children a $400,000 house and $100,000 a year income, and they add value to your business, it takes your life to another level. So, that's what legacy is, and the impact that me and my children are going to have the ability to leave on the world. That's legacy. That's what the whole thing is about. Hopefully something I said was helpful for the people listening.
Absolutely. And I definitely, I appreciate you being on here, Myron. I really do. There's so much gold in what you've been able to talk about. I know that everybody's going to love it. So I have basically two final questions for you. Number one, where can people find you if they're like, you know what, I gotta get me some more Myron, like I gotta learn more from him. Where should they find you, follow you, check you out, whatever? So
there are two different options. Like if you're trying to figure it out, and you don't, like you're just struggling to eke out a meager existence, or you're making less than $100,000 a year, right? And like you don't You don't, what do I do? Okay. You probably want to just go to BibleSuccessAcademy.com. What you're going to get there is you're going to get my Trash Man to Cash book for free. I'm going to ask you to pay $9.99 for shipping. And if you don't love the book, I know this is easy, but if you love the book, I'll send you your $9.99 back. You get to keep the book. I don't like, I don't need your money, but like, if you don't pay for it, you probably won't need it, right? So you're going to pay for the shipping. I'm going to give you the book. We sold over 150,000 copies of that book. I don't need to give them away, but I'm going to. Also, you're going to get 2 weeks for free in my Bible Success Academy membership site. 14 days free. On the 13th day, you're going to get an email that's going to say, hey, we're going to charge you in 2 days $27.99. You're going to get charged $27.99 a month. You're going to get one audio per week of me teaching you a Bible success principle. You're going to get one video per month. It's $27.99 a month. It's less than a dollar a day. For me, I've generated over $100 million between my students, over $100 million. Like, it's January, we've already done over $1 million in revenue for the year. Like, I've done $3.8 million in sales in 27 minutes, Derek, as you know. Like I know something about making money, right? So that's for if you're struggling. But if you're making like $250,000 a year and you're ready to take your life to the next level, you're an entrepreneur, you're listening to this, you're making $250,000 a year, but you're like one person who just messaged me on Instagram this morning, I'm stuck, I'm making multiple six figures, but I want to get the seven figures, I need your help. For that, you want to go to StageSellingSecrets.com. That's my site where I teach people to sell from the stage. And I know, as ridiculous as it sounds, Derek, my students, the first time they implement it, they usually make six or multiple six figures in just a couple of days, the first time they implement this strategy. I was just with a 29-year-old in Salt Lake City, Utah, this past weekend. He implemented the strategies I shared with him when he came to my training. He had people bombarding the stage. Like, they, I'm not exaggerating. They broke the stage, knocked a couple of TVs down to take advantage of his $9,000 offer. And he did like 200 and something thousand dollars in sales between his offer and then me standing up and doing the repitch. Over $200,000 in sales. First time he used what I taught him. So StageSellingSecrets.com, for the people who are making more than $250,000 a year, you want to get to a million. That's the fastest path. That's the fastest path to cash.
Awesome. I believe it.
What's the second question?
I've seen it in action. Second question, you touched a little bit about on it, but what do you want your legacy to be? Again, like with what we do, we talk about liberation, lifestyle, legacy a lot. Like, what do you want the legacy of Myron Golden to be?
I want my legacy to be, first of all, for my family, that I help set my entire family free. Myself, my wife, my children, my siblings, their children. Like, I want my legacy to be like I was an example to my family. And like, we have my daughter, my son-in-law work for my business. My son does contract work for our business through his agents. Brother Jeff, he closes for our business. So I already have people in my family working for us. And if we can get to the place in my lifetime where everybody in our family works in the business that we've created, that would make me just ecstatic. But also, I want to make sure that our business impacts the world. And what do I mean by impacts the world? Right now, I consult with businesses. Like, I literally just had a person recently whose business is doing over $1 billion a year in revenue in their business. And they hired me to help them produce a specific result in their business. And they paid me $1 million to do that. Like, I want to impact the world, but here's where ultimately we're going. Ultimately, I'm going to contract governments and teach governments run their governments better based on Bible success principles. That's ultimately where we're going. So that when I leave this world, I left it a better place because I lived in my creative space. I would recommend that everybody else do the same thing. Live in your creative space, make the world a better place. That's your legacy.
That's awesome. Well, again, Myron, I appreciate you, man, for hopping on. Tons of gold out there, guys. Make sure you check out, whether it's Bible Success Secrets, whether it's Stage Selling, all of this stuff. Make sure to check out Myron. Follow him on social media if you haven't already. Definitely on Instagram for sure. And appreciate you, buddy. Thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of the Primal King Podcast. There is one thing that I will ask you to do. Please make sure that you are subscribed to the show so you get all of the new episodes coming out. Also, please make sure that you rate and review the show so that way other people can have access to this podcast, to this content, and this community. Again, thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next time.